I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Well, that's a very good question. Judas may have been a thief and an informer and a betrayer of Jesus. He may have stolen money from the common purse from time to time. Cash is so tempting. He may have had other motives than the high moral road he seems to project, and he probably didn't really care all that much for the poor. But isn't he basically right? That pound of expensive perfume on Jesus' feet could have been used for a far better purpose. Perhaps a less expensive oil of Olay or a drugstore perfume would have been a much more sensible purchase than nard. Nard is a perfume imported from the Himalayas, and all the money that Mary spent could have been used to feed a large number of hungry families in Jesus' name. Could have been used to improve the miserable housing conditions in the neighborhood. The town they're in, Bethany, means house of the poor, and it's a poor neighborhood on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Mary's extravagant and generous gift to Jesus could have been sold for 300 denarii, according to Judas, who apparently knew about this sort of thing. And since one denarii was a day's wage for a common laborer, we're talking about 1 year's salary, which in today's dollars for a common laborer is about $30,000. Why would Mary do such a thing? Did his feet smell that bad? Oh, no. Jesus comments that the perfume has something to do with his burial. But Mary couldn't have known about that before the crucifixion. And even if she did know, doesn't she go a little overboard with the funeral arrangements? Kind of like buying the very most expensive casket or urn and then sticking it in the ground for all time. And a year's salary could have helped a lot of people. And that's Judas's point, and not a bad one, even if he is a thief. But as the fragrance of the perfume fills the room and every nostril in the house, Jesus responds to Judas, "Leave her alone. Get off her back." And goes on to say something that is more than a little confusing and confounding. Jesus says, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." On first hearing, for me, this is a difficult and even puzzling statement, as though Jesus doesn't really care about the poor, and we don't have to care either. We can spend our time at church or at home talking with God and then go on our way without lifting a finger to help anyone. But we know this can't be. We know this can't be because Jesus goes out of his way to be a friend to the poor and to teach people to love their neighbors and to take care of people's needs. Jesus must be quoting from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament that starts off in the same statement, "The poor are with you always, so open your hand to the poor and needy in your land." In other words, the poor are with us always, so do something about it and pay attention to me. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Well, if Jesus is appreciative of this gift, and he seems to be, maybe the answer is in the setting of the gospel. Maybe the answer is who is sitting with Jesus at the table and what they have shared. This particular night, Jesus is eating with a very grateful family. Days earlier, the two sisters, Mary and Martha, meet Jesus a few days after a funeral, completely overwhelmed for grief with the death of their brother, Lazarus. They even get a little testy with Jesus and wonder why he hadn't come earlier. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, usually when a funeral is finished, the family mourners gather for a meal. It's the same in our day, a time to grieve and share as family and as a community, to remember our loved one and to give one another mutual support. The strange thing about this meal, though, is that the deceased person is present and sitting at the table with Jesus. Their brother Lazarus is alive and with them and Jesus sharing in the meal. How grateful could these sisters be? We aren't told the specifics about Martha in this story, but she had a track record in the Bible for being busy, for getting lots of things done, for whipping up some marvelous meals. And I imagine that she served the best she had in the best way she could prepare it, because her brother was alive. We know more about Mary's extravagant response. She too is grateful and brought out what could have been the family's nest egg, It could have been their whole life saving, and used it to anoint the feet of the one she owed everything. Maybe she overdid it. Maybe she got carried away. Maybe Jesus should have scolded her. But this is a dinner with two very grateful sisters, and I suspect a very grateful Lazarus, all giving thanks in the best way that they could imagine, giving thanks for Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and Jesus knows it, and he can do nothing but accept their extravagant, heartfelt thanks. So Mary anoints Jesus' feet, and not his head, as you might anoint a king. She anoints his feet, perhaps as a sign of the servant Messiah who will be washing his own disciples' feet in a matter of days at the Last Supper, the action that clearly points us to the call of service in the world. The Gospel writer John may be saying that there's a connection here between honoring Jesus and serving others, a connectedness between loving God and loving our neighbor. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Maybe Mary goes overboard in honoring Jesus. Maybe she does overdo it. But that's not our modern problem, is it? Our problem in our relationship with Jesus, with God, is usually underdoing it. Underdoing it by giving and doing the least we can, or just enough, taking Jesus for granted, going days without consulting him in our prayers or giving thanks, assuming that since he's always here, we don't have to pay attention to him, rightly seeking to serve and help the poor, but neglecting the primary relationship with Jesus, with the one who empowers us and keeps sending us into the world, is a dead-end path. We too often give lip service to the importance of honoring Jesus in order to get on with the real business of the church and the really important aspects of our lives. As I look closely at this story, I don't think it's about the thriftiness of money at all, though it seems to be. The story is mainly about gratitude. It's mainly about remembering what Jesus has done in your life and in mine. And whether we can afford a pound of nard or a little vial of oil of Olay, whether we are rich or we are poor, there is this primary call of God to stop, to slow down, to give thanks with all that we are and all that we have. There'll be time to serve the poor, time to reach out to those in need and help raise them up in their lives. As Jesus in the book of Deuteronomy say, the poor are with us always, so open your hand to their needs. Our honoring of Jesus may not involve perfume or money at all, but the act itself, the act of gratitude, the act of thanksgiving, a time of devotion, the act of offering who we are and what we have to Jesus in whatever form will fill our lives and fill this church with the richest fragrance. Our gratitude, our devotion, our time spent with Jesus will unleash the fragrance of love and thanksgiving and friendship with the one who has loved us, the one who loves us so lavishly and in such a costly, costly way. 300 denarii would never be enough to give thanks, never enough to say thanks to the one who has forgiven our sins, broken the power of death, and brought us home to God. Mary's gift was both costly and extravagant, even lavish. She was overcome with joy and thankfulness, and maybe she overdid it. But on a Friday afternoon nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus offered his own costly and extravagant gift of himself. I pray that you and I will not underdo our response as we seek to honor him this Lent and throughout our lives. Jesus brought life into Mary's world of death, and she was grateful. Jesus brings life into our world of sin and death, and now it's our move. Amen.